Hello and welcome to Kingdom Quest episode 369. I'm your host, Wheels Vita something, and with me as always,
number one super guy, David Murray, my master.
And with you as sometimes these days, your manager pan, Michael Baker, Gaiji Monogatari.
Nice that we got you this week.
Apparently there's a big conference thing for the school entrance exam tomorrow. So They're cleaning up the school right now. That means I've got two class periods. I don't have anything to do. So I'm here.
Hooray!
Yay. So instead I'm just hanging with you guys and trying to see if I can get a rare encounter to show up on Sword of Mana.
Deep in the Sword of Mana mines. I suppose that's a good enough reason to start with that.
Yeah. I mean, when I played it first time, like 2 decades ago, I didn't really go too much into like the side stuff for the spirits. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to get some stuff out, just because it's really easy to just sit down and play for like 15 minutes and grinding stuff on this.
As it should be as a GBA game.
Thing is, I'm not quite sure how specific the timing is for getting the Cyclopses to appear. Just because there's multiple gradations of day and night on the day-night cycle. So I may be in a currently hopeless situation where the thing will not show up at all. I just have to reset for a week.
One day.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, I might as well just do that. Let's see. Off screen once here, and it is the next day. So yeah, it was probably too late in the evening for it to work.
Next time.
Yeah. I just have to exit and enter a screen like 6 times in order to shift to the next day.
Who hasn't been there?
Yeah.
Is that fun?
I don't know.
Good thing. Oh, it's fast, at least. So, what have you been playing?
Ooh, is that addressed to?
Was it Dave?
Is it me? But, yeah. Is it Dave?
Dave. I'll let Wheels go because I usually talk longer.
The hell I've been playing? The same things. Visions of Mana. Tokyo.
Morning, Fireminer.
Morning, Fireminer. Tokyo Xanadu. EX Plus. Some Destiny. Which I've pretty much finished. Things I want to do until the next season drops in like a month. So hopefully more other RPG time. Going back to Trails Through Daybreak. Trying to finish some things, really. I did finish a game, but it wasn't an RPG.
Yay.
Although it has characters.
Fucking lie that you would finish a video game.
Although it has characters from RPGs in it. That game was Astrobot.
Yes.
Which is absolutely a Game of the Year contender. Like,
I'll take your word.
I said this in your Discord channel, Bell, repeat it. Let's hope that this encourages the industry to start making copycat games so that we'll finally get a Slime Mori Mori Dragon Quest 4.
I mean, that would be freaking awesome.
That's the IP that... That's the closest IP Square Enix has to Astro Boy format. Even if it's completely different graphical style. So.
I mean, I would love that. Like, 3D platformers have kind of been, outside of Nintendo's output, obviously, have kind of been not present. So, if someone else can have a
good indie ones recently.
Yeah. But I mean, as far as, like, bigger ones outside of like Ratchet and Clank, it's kind of been nothing for a long time.
I would
time.
Almost barely describe Ratchet and Clank as a platformer.
Yeah, that's it's more like 3D action.
But it's still closer than a lot of stuff.
It is, but...
But you can tell that the reason it gets to survive as long as it does is that it's also largely a shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
whereas, I mean, whenever I watch the gameplay for Astrobot, I'm like, I could see a little blue slime just slingshotting his way through
situations. Absolutely.
I mean, it's very... I mean, Rocket Slime and the rest were definitely 2D, but at the same time, it would be a difficult transition here.
No.
Possibly quite a hilarious one. But...
Hey, I would get to see something I like the look of more than the Astrobot.
The Astrobot's cute.
He's fine. He's just sort of replacement level cute mascot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see where you can go with that.
I mean, that game is so full of charm and like weird nostalgia for random PlayStation 2. Not PlayStation shit. Like, just the last...
I was gonna say, isn't there a level that is just Super Monkey Ball?
No, it's Ape Escape.
Or Ape Escape.
Yeah.
Okay, same thing.
Or practically.
There's a Loco Roco stage.
Wasn't it nice before they murdered the studio that made most of these?
Yeah.
R.I.P. Japan Studio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely one of the best 3D platformers I've ever played. And it probably didn't cost them that much to make, so if it does well, they're going to make a lot of money off of it. And hey, you don't have to chase these stupid fucking graphics, perhaps, all the time. For everything.
I mean, that's what I was saying, is like, if it's doing as well as it seems to be doing, the industry will follow that because it's like easier money.
Yeah.
And I wish.
If only. I mean, just outside of like, you know, the Marvel stuff they've got in the works, a lot of the stuff their studios, talking about Sony here, and that they have are just getting boring. Like, are they really going to leave Naughty Dog, which has made lots of really cool, creative, fun games, be the fucking Last of Us studio? Like,
oh, they're 100% a Last of Us factory.
Vomit.
Like, the fucking Brock just talked about about how he finally has the right idea for Last of Us Part 3.
Gross.
But yeah, I expect that to come out in, like, 2028, maybe 2029.
What is hopefully... Sucker Punch even doing anymore?
I don't think we know, although I would assume they must have something that is well into the works, just because, like, Ghost of Tsushima was, like, 3 years ago at this point. No, wait. I think it was way more than 3 years ago. Let me check this. Because I'm remembering where I was when I was playing it the first time.
Well, it was announced at an E3.
Yeah. Yeah, it was July of 2020.
Okay.
So 4 years ago. And we haven't... Like, they made a... PS5 update, they made a Windows version, but I can't imagine that those were primarily Sucker Punch internal, for at least for the PC version. So I would imagine that, like, they must be deep in production on something, but evidently something that they couldn't announce because it was fucking necessary for because they didn't have anything coming out in 2024. There's not actually that much announced for 2025 either. I assume Sucker Punch's game has to be 2025 game.
whatever it is. Sly Cooper. I'm not even going to talk about that.
Yeah, we already know that it's not. I was going to make the more absurd joke. Rocket Robot on Wheels 2.
Infamous third son. Remember,
yeah, it's looking like it's probably Ghost of Tsushima too.
Yeah, that's fine. That could be cool.
That's fine. I wanted to like Ghost of Tsushima a lot more than I ended up liking it. Let's see. Okay, yeah, so I was remembering Jason Schreier commenting on some rumors about them and found the old tweet. No tweet to this one, because there was a rumor that they were working on a new Sly Cooper.
Oh.
And he just said, no truth to this one. Sorry to say, Sucker Punch is a one project studio. The reason Ghost of Tsushima 2 isn't out yet is because AAA video games now take 5 to 7 years to make. And also, Sucker Punch is smaller than most other AAA game developers.
Well, that all sucks.
Yeah, the other thing is just that, like, you know, there's a tonal monotony to these kinds of things. Like, they're, even when they're about different things, they're all these sorts of dour things about dark and violent worlds, and that's part of what makes Astrobot such a breath of fresh air, is to like, no, it's just a fun thing where a silly little robot gets attacked by a sillier alien. Let's see. So, I guess since Wheels has been playing ran its course, I will talk a bit about what I've been playing. I had some train rides this week, so I spent a lot of time playing the Ace Attorney Investigations Collection.
Sweet.
I am most of the way through Ace Attorney Investigations 1. That game's not very good.
No.
2 is good. 1 is not. 1 is clearly colored by a lot of circumstance around its development. It's also largely the first product of a new team that was not, that was dealing, like, it was a lot of people who had worked on prior games, but not in the roles they were in, specifically in terms of leadership. And also, they seem to have difficulty dealing with the way that the new server really messed with the way that cases are paced. Yeah. Like, Ace Attorney, the main games, have a very, have a structure that allows for very clean pacing, because you have start, or you get your client, you do an initial investigation. You have a first day in court where you get the full understanding of how much the prosecution is certain that the client is guilty and are under tremendous strain to get to even get through the first day in court. A second investigation where you either at the end of the first day in court or the beginning, by the end of the second day of investigation, you've identified your suspect and who you're going to have to prove is the real culprit. And then you have the tug of war back and forth over getting the, you know, clearing your client and successfully indicting the true culprit. And, you know, there's variations on that form, but it's a very easy to understand sort of structure in terms of drama and mystery. With investigations, they didn't have the court to structure everything around.
Hmm.
Did we lose you?
I'm wondering. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to answer one of Fireminer's questions while we're waiting. He says, what are the chances of the Horizon Zero Dawn 1 remaster? Actually, not a remaster. What if they have always had high-resolution assets and are just waiting for hardware good enough to run them? That game, to be remastered, needs a lot more than just graphics. Its platforming is janky as shit, and a lot of the platforming areas are glitchy and buggy and janky as shit. I don't think they could just re-put out Horizon Zero Dawn 1 with updated graphics and not have it just be kind of bad. So, no, I don't think that's the case. It needs more than that. And then Farmer says, if they're going to make Ghost of Tsushima 2, they'll have to either move back to the Heian era? Heian? H-E-I-A-N era?
Heian.
Heian era. Or move forward to the Sengoku era.
Well,
maybe
I mean,
know more about that.
Okay, well, Heian is like the Japanese Golden Age.
Okay.
Sort of, it's the height of the early imperial culture. And it kind of fell apart in the civil war, just because the emperor had, I mean, traditionally the emperor has no political power, so it's usually the emperor's handlers or the clans associated with them to in control of the country. And there was a major disagreement between two branches called the Genji and the Heike. So if you know the tale of Genji, it's part of that. And between the political maneuvers of the major clans and the stalled out Mongol invasion, there was a long period of uncertainty where the warrior class of the country felt disabused of the notion that the courtly clans actually needed to exist, basically. and so you ended up with a like two different shogun periods right afterwards, over a course of maybe one or two centuries, and then that completely fell apart afterwards. You ended up with the 200 something years of civil war that was the Sengoku period. So, honestly, they could just jump forward to the Sengoku, but it might be a lot more interesting to have them go through the Muromachi or Kamakura periods before that, because in those you still had a central government around the emperor that was not the emperor. So you actually had a government in place, but it was not necessarily an effective one. And so there's a good balance between lawless areas and areas that are nominally not lawless before everything falls apart. But basically there is room to maneuver in Japanese history before they get to the big famous section that everyone knows. Is basically it. And it's also not a period that sees a lot of attention outside of Japan for media, so it would be interesting to see what they do with it, if they stick to those two periods.
We'll see.
Yep.
Hopefully we'll hear something about whatever game they're making soon. Farmer says, how many people will buy Freedom Wars Remastered? I did love the multiplayer experience on the Vita. I mean, I'm definitely going to buy it.
Possibly more than people who would have bought on the Vita because they're more likely to own the current console.
Oh, for sure. I think that was a pretty late Vita game, too. So
it was. I remember we were kind of surprised that it got ported over.
Yeah. I think that was Sony published too, wasn't it?
Yeah. I just remember, I think Severin who reviewed it for us, and
probably.
I tried to convince him to just make a montage of every single "Oops, I broke the law" screen. And he gave up because there was just too many of them. I mean, it was things like, "Oops, you currently do not have legal permission to sit down in your own apartment." Which, I mean, apartment is a jail cell.
Okay, so how long did I pop out for?
About five minutes or so.
5 minutes, yeah.
Jesus Christ, that was most of the time I was talking about Ace Attorney. Oh well.
Yep. Sorry. You were talking about something about the balance of the story had changed because there was no longer an early courtroom element or something.
It was just that they no longer have any sort of courtroom structure to pace the story around. So you get a lot more situations where you're interrogating someone and what they have to say is completely fucking worthless. And it really saps a lot of the cases of their momentum.
Yeah, it sucks.
It's fine. It's not a great game. It's got maybe two and a half good cases out of five. It has the worst final case in the series, mostly because that's the half good case. The first half of it is good. The second half is extremely long and needlessly complicated and emotionally uninvesting. So.
Oh. As a side note, you should probably check out the Japanese drama series 99.9. You'd probably enjoy it.
I assume that is referring to conviction rates.
Yep. Though, to be noted, it's conviction rates of cases that are brought to trial. So.
Yeah.
An important distinction, because I've known a lot of Americans who assumed it was just 99% of all arrests.
Yeah, no. The cases are typically not brought to trial unless there is an assumption that the case is basically airtight.
Yep. So yeah, the TV series is about that 0.1%, basically. I've only seen a couple episodes because they were marathoning it at a New Year's vacation. I spent at my wife's family's house a couple years ago. But one episode was actually, this guy was convicted and sentenced for arson and the murder of his wife. Mm-hmm. And, but his family had always, family was always protesting his innocence. And so at the earliest possible point, which was 5 years later, they managed to get the case reopened for review. And they hired the main cast to, as their lawyers to do the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a lot of fun showing procedure on this, testing mm-hmm. the case, testing the known evidence to see if it actually worked,
mm-hmm.
things like that. So they had video surveillance at a gas station of the of this man buying heater oil at the gas station, with a timestamp. And then it showed they had video surveillance of his car arriving at their home parking lot with a timestamp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the question was, could he have gotten from the gas station to his house in that time period while also stopping by the udon shop that he and his wife ran and setting that mm-hmm. on fire?
Mm-hmm.
And so they had this assistant with the law firm just driving, trying very hard not to break the speed limit, but also managed to get from A to B while also dumping a bunch of water mm-hmm. in the middle at the
yeah
at the lot where the Udon Shop used to be.
Yeah, to simulate the idea of like having taking time to.
Yep, and so they determined that, okay, with the timestamps given, it was possible.
Hmm.
But then they started looking at the footage a bit closer, and the video footage from the gas station showed all three cameras, and which was like where the guy was getting the gas or the oil, the heating oil. The other one was the gas pumps, and the third one was inside the gas station, where it showed these two gas station employees being very excited over a baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
So they managed to interview the two employees, and they found out exactly which game it was. They managed to match the times and everything. And they were excited because this one guy on the first team scored a home run.
Mm-hmm.
On national live television. With timestamps.
Hmm.
They're 5 minutes off of the gas station's timestamps.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was like, oh, okay. And then there was the fact that, the guy paid for the heating oil with cash, which is why he couldn't prove it from his receipts to begin with. And the, there was a purchase logged at that machine for 10 liters of heating oil at the timestamp that matched the video. And it was 10 liters. And when the police checked his car, they found the container with 5 liters. Exactly 5 liters. So they had the same assistant now performing an exercise over and over again to see if it was humanly possible to empty exactly 5 liters of a liquid. Which they deemed it was like technically possible, but you know what? The odds are not really good of this happening. So, and it kept going on. This is basically how the each episode works, is like they are taking the known facts and they are testing it to death. As part of the drama, and so, very similar vibe to Ace Attorney without some of the more ridiculous aspects.
Hmm.
A completely different set of ridiculous aspects from time to time, but not the same ones.
Of course.
Anyway, so recommended to you because you enjoy Ace Attorney that much, you'd probably love this show. You could find it with subtitles.
Yeah, I'll have to give that a look.
Yeah. And the main antagonist for the series is this one head prosecutor for Tokyo who is very, very, what's the right word here, concerned about his image, reputation, legacy, whatever, and would really love it to be a 100% conviction rate. But the thing is, he's being played by this guy who I always associate with goofball comedy. So it's actually kind of freaky to see him playing a very cold and calculating psychopath of a prosecutor. Okay, but yeah.
So that's been the other thing that I'll briefly say about Ace Attorney Investigations before I close the book on this subject for a bit is that it has one of the first one's big problems is that it has like the worst possible relationship with trying to fall back to prior games. Like, it's always inelegant and distracts from the story that it's telling right now because it's like, here's a thing from a prior game, remember that? It's back. It's back, guys. It's back.
I hate it when games do that.
It's like Investigations 1, it's just full of that shit, and it's not great. They thankfully toned it down afterwards, because, like, I think the third case of Investigations 1 has reference to at least 5 other cases in the series, and it's really desperate by the end of it. It's like, no, this character doesn't need to come back. They don't add anything to this. Like, this detail that you've extrapolated into an entire setting is fucking stupid. Why did you do that? But yeah, Investigations 1 is very much the product of a team that seems unconfident in their original material, which is a bit of a shame, since the original material tends to be the strongest. That's neither here nor there. I'm almost done with Investigations 1, then I can play Investigations 2, which is good. So,
woohoo!
Hooray. I want to hit some of these things that Fireminer's been saying in the chat so that we don't miss them.
And we went over everything up to Monster. We didn't do Monster Hunter Online. Everything above that,
I did want to put in my two cents of what the fuck is Freedom Wars Remastered doing happening.
Oh, yeah. Don't know. That was not on my bingo card for any
year. I don't think that was on anyone's.
Yeah.
Like,
huh?
It's even weirder because, like, yeah, I assume Sony owned that? But Bandai Namco is publishing the remaster?
I think they did own it. I think it said something in there about, I don't know if they bought the property back from Sony or something. I think there was something in there about it.
Yeah. Like, Sony's Japan studio worked on it at the time, because, like, that was one of the things that they'd do with, like, you said that a game was only PlayStation, like, Japan studio would do secondary work on it a lot of the time.
Mm.
I have no idea what the... I have no idea what the status of who owns what parts of that IP is, but it's fucking weird.
Weird. Who's the main developer of it again? Is it Dimps?
Dimps.
Okay.
One of those classic contract devs. Yeah, it's just a fucking weird thing to see come back.
Yeah.
And I know that it had a lot of fans, so that'll be good for them.
It'll be good day.
As Fireminer mentions, you might actually see that... You might actually have an online community for it this time.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Yep. What was Monster Hunter Online multiplayer experience like in the 2000s? Well, if you're talking about the PS2 game, not a lot of people bothered.
Mm.
Like, at least in the US. Like, I feel like by the mid-late 2004 that Monster Hunter 1 came out on the PS2, the online there is kind of a dead letter. I'm not sure if either of you had a different experience.
Nope. Yeah, I played PSO on Xbox Live, but I don't think I played like anything online on PS2 other than Final Fantasy XI, which is a giant waste of time.
It was inconsistent at the best of times, because, like, you had players with broadband playing with players with dial-up,
mm-hmm.
and there was very little third-party middleware support to make this not a huge pain in the ass. It was just, like, kind of one of those things where, like, it seemed like no one... that Sony had realized how much support developers were going to need to make these functions happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see that until into the PS3 era when they finally made a unified account system. But just one of those things. It's like, man, this is a fucking... Yeah, by the, like, Monster Hunter being, like, an online multiplayer action RPG for PS2, like, it sold just fine, certainly in Japan at least, but it was, you know, I'd say that it's telling that we didn't get Monster Hunter 2 in the US. there wasn't much of a community for it in the U.S. certainly. So, I don't think that, I won't pretend that I was playing Monster Hunter Online with people, but I think that was pretty common to not be playing Monster Hunter Online.
Yeah, it was too early, and it ended up on the wrong systems here for a long time to hit it big in the U.S. But I mean, you see, we saw with Monster Hunter World, there is a sizable audience in the West for Monster Hunter.
Same thing with Rise, which did pretty great numbers for being on like one platform and then two platforms and then finally on everything.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know how it would have gone if it went and instead of going in the portable route, it went to like PS3 and Xbox. What would that alternate history look like? You know, maybe it would have been a worse series.
Just have to play Monster Hunter Frontier.
Maybe it would have been worse because maybe they would have kept going with the stupid joystick attack controls. I don't know.
Let's all contemplate Monster Hunter Frontier. Have you played Monster Hunter Frontier, Will?
I have not played it and have not really watched much gameplay of it.
I don't it think seem that as good. Or, I don't think it's still exists. I know that it like existed in some fashion for years and years and years, way longer than I ever would have imagined. I don't know when or if it finally died.
Not sure.
Yeah, it looks like it did die eventually. Yeah, it looks like it ran for a little over a decade. But it finally died in December of 2019, it looks like. Yeah. Let's see. Everyone is saying, did you know I assume this was CBS 2 on PS2 and Dreamcast was like the first cross-play game thanks to KDDI's multi-matching broadband service, which Street Fighter 2, Resident Evil Outbreak, and Monster Hunter G also used. Did not know about that. Man, that is not a roll of honor in terms of games with good online. Although a lot of that was just down to the way they were designed. Resident Evil Outbreak, I remember, they were really insistent on trying to be like, you'll play this one with other people, but it'll be scary. And it's like, so they made it so that you couldn't communicate via voice or text in any fashion other than predefined macros. And those predefined macros, one took forever to actually sort through the goddamn menu and run. And two, like, they were missing really crucial interactions. So, like, there's a bunch of points in the game where you can get to different parts of the scenario by using an elevator. You can't, there's no macro that's just saying what floor you're going to. So, when you, like, you can't see what anyone else is selecting when you get in an elevator. All of you are in an elevator, and there are multiple floors to go to. You will all end up on whatever floor you happen to choose with no indication of where anyone else went.
Ugh.
Like, Outbreak is a fundamentally ill-conceived product. One of my favorite bits was that one of the things that they were advertising as, like, a differentiating feature was that if you died, you turned into a zombie and you fought the people that were previously trying to help you. But someone in the development team did eventually, like, come to their senses of, like, wait, that means a bunch of people are going to immediately get themselves killed just for the sake of griefing the other players. And, or they'll find specifically the time when it will be most inconvenient and piss people off the most, because a lot of the scenarios were like another thing that was just poorly thought out. Like, the game was split into scenarios, but several of those scenarios are like 3 hours long, and you can't stop in the middle of them.
Ugh.
Yeah,
So
that's
you
not
would.
good for co-op play.
Yeah, so what you would end up doing is that, like, someone gets to, like, some choke point 90 minutes in and conspires to get the rest of their team killed just to fuck with them. It's not fun. It's not a fun game. Even if
We'll
you're
do that.
playing alone, it's a really sucky game. But it's a fascinatingly bad game because, like, eventually they realized that people were going to grief by getting themselves turned into zombies at inopportune moments. And so they made it so that once you were turned into a zombie, you could only play as that for like a minute or two, and then you would get booted, and you wouldn't be able to play a game until everyone else in the game had either completed the scenario or died.
What the fuck?
Until the lobby was taken out.
Yeah. And
Wow.
yeah, it's bad. It's a bad game. A bunch of band-aid fixes over fundamentally ill-conceived ideas.
Well, I have here in front of me the definitive list of good online games on consoles from the early 2000s.
Okay.
Halo 2.
It's
Phantasy
getting
Star
to the
Online.
2000s, but we'll accept it.
That's the end of the list.
Let's play Rent a Hero, number one. It's not online. I'm just thinking of Xbox games now. How
Yeah.
did you feel about Phantasy Star Online Card Revolution?
I've never gotten around to it, but it's probably amazing.
You would say that.
10 out of 10.
Their Capcom game that had PS2, Dreamcast
Oh,
crossplay
hold
with
on. Speaking of card
Gundam.
games, my review for Fairy Tail Dungeons is now up on the site.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't realize that was.
Synopsis is very good and fun with a basically non-existent story, but it doesn't need one. So, if that's your kind of thing and you like Fairy Tail, definitely high recommend. Just don't expect it to be like Slay Aspire. It's not quite that deep, but it is fun. Not EverQuest or EverQuest 2 or Final Fantasy 11. Console, Fire Miner, console online games.
Also, I don't think Wheels likes FF11.
No, FF11 is trash.
The PS2 EverQuest is huge dog shit.
PS2 EverQuest games that are
A
not
totally
online
different game.
games are fucking rad.
Yeah,
However,
Champions Norrath and Champions Return to Arms are weirdly really good.
yeah.
Even as someone who does not like Diablo style games, those are very good Diablo style games.
Yes, yes, they are.
Let's see. As for EverQuest and EverQuest 2, I don't think people really liked EverQuest 2 that much at the time. It just got immediately had its lunch eaten by World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
And then EverQuest 1 is one of those things that, like, is very important historically, but and that is a fucking suck ass game to go back to play. But that's all by implication on my part. I've not played them. Even if I were to try to go back and play them now, it would not be a meaningful replication of the experience. At some point, EverQuest 1 did the thing where there weren't enough new like originally EverQuest, from what I can understand, the way that it worked was that every like race had it was either race or class had its own starting zone, and they reached a point after a certain expansion where they realized there aren't enough people starting this game for that not to be a miserable and lonely experience. So they had to just, at some point in an expansion, make it so that everyone starts in the same place, or else you would just not see another player for hours. And but still, those games run.
Yep.
They go. We should be getting news about the new EverQuest expansions in the next month or so.
Yeah, it's the only thing that was shut down was the Mac version of EverQuest is dead.
I can't imagine a less played object.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was his own server, so that it really didn't make sense anymore.
Okay. Yeah. The last EverQuest expansion. Okay. They have in fact announced the 31st EverQuest expansion. It's coming in December 2024. Can't imagine that.
31st?
Jesus.
Yes. There was a period where, like, early in EverQuest's life, there was a new expansion every 6 months. Like,
wow.
Truly a wild speed to be releasing anything.
I assume if one were to actually try and go play that game now, they have some bundle you could buy to get you a bunch of expansions.
Oh,
otherwise, that sounds like it would be insanely expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that they just sort of, like, for the most part, the official servers just layer on the expansion. I don't even think that you have to buy them.
Okay.
And then, like, unofficial servers, which are, like, there are plenty of unofficial EverQuest servers, do all sorts of weird shit. Like, some of them do through certain expansions, some of them do the, like, apply a new expansion every month bit. Like, they all have their own rules, but yeah, like EverQuest is one of those ones where even if the official servers go unsupported, like, there are fan servers that you can run EverQuest on. But of course, that runs into the issue of who's going to play an EverQuest fan server who isn't at least 40 at this stage.
Don't know. No, Final Fantasy XI has unofficial servers too, because famous annoying streamer Ninja plays on one of them and has played it on stream unapologetically.
That's awful.
Yeah, that's fucking gross.
I mean, yeah, I think it's gross because of Ninja's involvement. But...
Yeah. Hold on, we gotta go. We have to turn the stream into watching a trailer. Because Fireminer just said they just announced a new Devil May Cry animated show.
Yeah, I saw people discussing
so
that.
So I'm going to play this on stream right now.
So, this guy.
Return in a minute.
He's something else. The way he moves, the hits he took.
His name is Dante.
What kind of work do you do exactly?
Demon hunting.
Woo-hoo! Jackpot!
Okay, that looks cool.
Okay.
Yeah,
but April, here. God damn it.
Lol.
Hmm.
Maybe they can announce a new Devil May Cry game in time for it.
That would be fun.
I don't think we're going to get that. I can dream.
Man, I already have my March and April game picked out, so I don't care. The next Atelier game.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. I was
going
to say a new Atelier out that, around that time.
Late March, yeah.
Perfect.
Yep, and Romancing Saga 2 end of next month.
Yeah. Everything's coming up, Gaijin.
Yep.
I'm curious why they went with Johnny Youngbosch for Dante. I'm not against it, certainly.
Sure. Who did his voice in 5?
Well, for the most part, since 3, he's been voiced by a guy named Ruben Langdon, who Capcom seems to potentially be wanting to see the back of. He used to also do Ken's voice in Street Fighter up until 6. But the thing about Ruben Langdon is that he's like a conspiracy nut.
Ooh. Not the fun kind, I'm assuming.
No, the mind control COVID vaccine kind.
Okay.
Wait, who? What?
Thanks. Ruben Langdon, voice of Dante in Devil May Cry 3 through 5, also his motion capture actor.
And what happened with him?
You might as well have just started with, I didn't hear any of that.
Yes, I didn't hear any of that because I was reading this text in Ys.
Gotcha. He is a conspiracy nut.
Great. Fuck him.
And that might be why he's not. Yeah, that might be part of why he's not. Because, like I said, he was also previously Ken's voice actor in Street Fighter before 6. So it might be Capcom saying, hey, we're kind of done with this. Who knows?
It's the East game where everybody hates at all.
But
that's
why?
That's most East games.
But he's got amnesia, so he doesn't know why.
He doesn't even know what he did. Remember crashing his ship.
It's all those shipwrecks, seriously.
He's got concussions.
Yeah.
You ever think about how ever think about how Adol canonically dies in his 60s while attempting to travel to the North Pole?
No.
You just know that he got keel hauled to death or something like that.
When do you find that out?
This is some sort of kayfabe that exists around East that they are the journals of the explorer Adol.
There was an East game where he did go to the North Pole. And he met Santa Claus and had to fight evil mutant reindeers. That would be cool.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
Perhaps one day.
Are you streaming this from PlayStation TV?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know it ran on that.
It's a Vita game.
Well, I had a PlayStation TV when it came out, and half the Vita games wouldn't run on it. Yeah. I ended up selling it.
Like what?
Well, right off the bat, you couldn't play Uncharted, Hot Shots Golf.
Hot Shots Golf is weird. Uncharted, I understand because it uses every fucking feature of the Vita.
Yeah. I remember Disgaea 3 had something weird where there was a feature that it would keep track of how far you've been moving, and there was like a number in the game. I don't know what it actually did, but I recall an error message would keep popping up saying, oh, your GPS isn't working or your Bluetooth is down or something like that.
I don't think I had any issue like that.
But maybe things got ironed out since then. I don't know. But
and there were some patches. I mean, I don't know. Most of the things I tried worked on here. I think the only weird one that didn't was Dragon Quest Builders, but there's some way you can hack in like a different whitelist. Without actually packing the Vita.
There was a brief period where Sony accidentally fucked itself over and did that itself.
Yes, there was.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure the majority of games run. There are some that don't. And I mean, things that need the touchscreen, you can use the touchpad on a PS4 controller, so.
Well, that's what I mean.
Just about everything should work except stuff that relies on like the back panels, which I think Uncharted does. I think that's why that one doesn't work.
Yeah, and then Super Stardust Delta, you have to tap the back screen to use the black hole attack. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I love doing things by accident all the time.
Yeah, I think games that came out after this thing came out, I think there were ways developers, I think, could put in controls for Vita TV or something like that. But I mean, obviously, by that point, what developer really gave a shit?
None. Yeah.
Especially after they, I don't think, definitely didn't do well in the U.S. because I bought a second one. I have stored away in a safe for $30 from GameStop.
Oh yeah, no, the thing was dead on arrival.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, it's a nice little system for what it can do. Other than you missed it. I tried to stream Daxter.
Okay.
And I don't know what's going on with it
ran
because
so poorly.
All the cutscenes were jittery as shit.
Okay.
The characters' arms were like, it just was like all over the place. And then actually playing the game, there were random like frame rate stutters, and I don't think, pretty sure the game ran fine on PSP. I don't think it had any issues like that. And I don't remember it doing that on the Vita TV either, ever. So that was weird. I don't know.
Are you all excited for the Uncharted remaster?
You mean Horizon?
Yeah, Horizon.
No.
Thanks. Sorry, I'm being mean now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Fireman asked about that, and he was asking if they go, maybe they just have, they already had higher res assets they can just put in there, and it's like, man.
That doesn't make that an exciting context.
That game is janky as fuck outside of the combat. It has weird ancient platforming with lots of jankiness and stuff that barely works. And it not great open world. If they put that game out when just having it look nicer, it is not going to appear great. Like,
kind of funny to me.
I think we all forgave a lot about that game because it was a cool new IP, and it really was a cool new IP. Like, it's a neat concept. The concept was interesting, and you know. Go back and listen to old episodes. I was stoked for the sequel, and yeah, didn't work out so well. So I don't think just gussying up that old game is going to do anything for anyone. Honestly, I think it's a bad idea for that franchise. Dude, I don't think that's going to turn out well.
Jeff Grubb, a frequent /leaker, was talking about that remaster and said that it's probably going to be shown at a State of Play that he claimed was coming on the 24th, and had this incredible sentence to say, "There's some other remaster in the works that will be even less exciting."
Oh, God. What could that be?
I saw some people speculating Days Gone.
Oh, yeah, I think Fireminer mentioned that in the chat as well.
I
agree.
I don't know.
But all these PS4 games already got, like, performance enhancing patches on PS5.
How about some remasters of some PS3 games? There's a trilogy of really good Ratchet and Clank games that could be gussied up into a nice little collection.
There's a trilogy of existing Ratchet and Clank games.
There is. There's two trilogies of Ratchet and Clank games.
Yes.
The second one is kind of stretching the definition of trilogy. Quest for Booty was a game made by like 20 people inside of 8 months.
Are
you thinking of Nexus?
Yeah, it's Future Tools of Destruction, Crack in Time, and Nexus.
But Quest for Booty was part of that too, though.
Yeah, it's not a. I don't. It's not really a full
quadrology. No.
No, okay. I wouldn't call that
tetralogy. Tetralogy.
I wouldn't even count that one in there.
It would be in there if they were remastering the
others. Yeah, for sure.
It's made out of recycled assets. Yeah, I forgot about Nexus. Sony also forgot about Nexus, having announced it alongside Wonder Book and released it around the same time as the PS4, which could not play PS3 games with no PS4 version.
It's funny because the newest one, it's a direct sequel to that, even though it followed up the remake of the original game that coincided with the movie, which is a very nice game that people should play. Looks and plays very nice.
It's one of the most successful ones of the series. It probably helps that it came out at $40.
Yeah.
That's why I bought it.
You should all also watch that movie because it's very fun, and I don't understand. Why fans of that series didn't like it. I saw things like, oh, they didn't have all...
Oh, there's so many arguments. So many arguments you don't even know.
Why don't they use crazy weapons? I don't know. Maybe because it's not a fucking video game, perhaps. Perhaps it is a movie. I don't know.
Which movie again?
The Ratchet and Clank movie.
There was a Ratchet and Clank movie?
Yes.
It was fine. What? Okay. People didn't like it?
Well, it did very poorly, and Ratchet & Clank fans hate it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm a Ratchet & Clank fan, and I liked it, so there. Same.
Check this out, Ratchet & Clank.
This
had a very good voice cast, including, like, all the original actors from the games. And some random big names. It's very fun.
Well, Paul Giamatti was there for some reason?
Yes. It wasn't so. Sylvester Stallone was in it, I think.
It's just a weird set of people. Let's see. Firebinder says another Capcom game that had PS2 Dreamcast crossplay was Gundam Federation vs. Zeon, originally a Naomi game. How popular were the PS2 Gundam games? In the US, not at all. Many old Gundam heads were still sore with Bandai's fumbling the expansion of Gundam in the North American market in the early 2000s by failing to capitalize on the popularity of Seed and the rise of the adult collector market. Hidebound C-Suite chose to focus exclusively on UC and Wing. I mean, they did dub Seed. Like, you could watch Seed in the US. It's not a great dub, but it's there. They wanted to, like, they weren't going to manufacture new shit just for the U.S. They didn't want to divert they didn't want to divert manufacture of Gunpla to, like, meet any sort of U.S. demand or European demand if that had taken off. I think they wanted to just make sure that they could sell the ones that they expected to be able to sell. And when they couldn't, they were just like, fuck this. It was short-sighted, but not surprising. The games themselves, though, I remember not being terribly popular. And granted, I was not in the Gundam fandom. I don't know how Gundam fans felt about them. I just know how video game fans felt about them. And the answer was that most of the response seemed to be quite resoundingly negative, except for maybe Federation versus Zeon. There were the occasional ones that people kind of liked, but it was... You were lucky if a Gundam game got okay reviews. Put it that way. The ones I played were largely unimpressive. Battle Assault was pretty decent. That was about it. But that Battle Assault kind of reveals the issue that they were having, because that had to be, like, specifically designed to... they had to keep rejiggering the Battle Assault games from Japan to the US and back, simply because the number of Gundams that were popular in the US was so limited and different from Japan that the licensed product had to be different to reflect it. Did I cut out again?
No, you're here.
Yeah. You're good. No, that's kind of what I was thinking, but I had absolutely no background to say whether that was true. It's just that the Gundams that were popular in America are not the ones that they're popular in Japan, at least at the start.
They've mostly come together into at least like a semi, like, you can kind of manage to sell the same sorts of things to people, But yeah, like, they really wanted them to, they really wanted things to be popular the same amount and in the same ways. Because it would simplify global marketing if they just had, if they could just sell any given Gundam thing anywhere. And that's ultimately, for sheer attrition, kind of where they got. But it took several false starts. Also, eventually, they like release age in the US, and they seemed very unhappy about that. According to Capcom shareholder documents, they see the Mega Man IP more valuable as licensing vehicle than game franchise. How many other game IP have reached the status that the games make less profits than just licensing the character for crossovers and merchandise? Pac-Man? Gundam Breaker 4 recently got a Pac-Man collaboration. Like, I mean, Pac-Man's one of those things where, like, the character is essentially continually printing money as an icon, and then occasionally they'll release a game and it sells pretty well. So I'm not even, like, yeah, Pac-Man's definitely more profitable as,
concept of an IP.
Yeah. What I would say, is that, like, reading between the lines of what was being said in those, I think it's also just that their hope is that by pushing it as a licensed product, they can reinvigorate it as a game. And they've found some success in doing that by seeing that the collections have continued to increase the status of the IP. Let's see. Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, this is a rare thing, just because usually when the games go moribund, it's because no one cares about the IP, so there's very few things that do this. And the ones that do tend to be extraordinarily old. And I've never actually seen someone play the opening of Soul Sacrifice. What the fuck is happening?
Yeah, it's weird.
It's a weird game. A very weird game.
Yeah. So you had wanted to talk about the Vita for some reason?
Yeah, because I thought that was the whole point of the episode, and I didn't know you guys were starting at 11 o'clock.
Neither did I.
So
that was serendipity.
Yeah.
I don't like the book.
Yeah, so I didn't mean to. Book. I didn't want to jump on late, but okay. Yeah, so our host, Ask Wheels, came over today to hang out, and he sold me back the Vita that I sold him a few years ago. It's the same one. I got my little Vita boy back. I'm happy about it. Mm-hmm. And it's the original fat model with the OLED screen. And he included the same case, the same 32-gigabyte memory card and power cable that was with it. And then he said, hey, do you want to buy this copy of Freedom Wars for $5? I said, sure. Why not? Even though I have it on PlayStation Plus, it's not going to take up as much space now, which is good.
See, that's so not how much it goes for you in Japan, too.
Well, how about that? Well, tell that to the sellers on Amazon. So then,
it's a jungle out there. No worry. No, thank you.
Yeah. So, so he was here. So we were doing, actually, he brought the Marvel vs. Capcom collection, and we were playing that on the Switch. And then he, we did X-Men Children of the Atom, and he just kept kicking my ass with Wolverine. I tried.
Wow. Who knew a Silver Samurai could be so broken?
I know. I tried Silver Samurai. I tried Psylocke. I tried Colossus. And, like, okay. Then we went into Marvel vs. Capcom, and I picked Morrigan, Venom, my best team, and I won 10 matches in a row. And then we did Marvel vs. Capcom 2, and there we were evenly matched. So in that case, my best team ended up being Akuma, Ken, and Ryu, who are pretty much the same character. So it's fine. You know, if you know one set of moves, you know them all. So that worked out.
I think my best team after was Magneto, Cable, and who the hell was the third one? Oh, Kami.
Damn it, yeah.
I mean, you did pick two of the four best characters in the game, so...
Yeah, Cable is a cheapskate, Magneto's kind of OP, yeah. So...
Like, the four... Like, the four strongest characters in MVC2 are Magneto, Storm, Cable, and Sentinel.
Oh, okay.
You will sometimes see... like, competitive players will sometimes make use of certain other characters that, like, strong assists.
Yeah.
Like, those are the four characters that are just like, oh, you have them on point because they're extremely strong.
So... So that was fun, and then after he left, I just spent most, you know, the rest of the day just tinkering with the Vita and just downloading stuff onto it, and... Oh boy, I do not regret my purchase. I love this system. I'm glad to have it back.
How many times and without... did you scroll through the download list today?
Exactly, so... So basically, this thing can... This thing can already play PS1 and PSP games, so I'm like, okay, I don't have to emulate those on like Steam Deck or anything anymore. And I don't know why I sold this thing in the first place, so I might hack it at some point, but for now it plays what I want. But yeah, you know, you're going through, I'm on the store just scrolling through games, and for the most part, games that I own, it shows a red store symbol next to it and just says download, no price tag. Then I noticed there were a few games where it was a blue symbol and it was trying to hit me up for money. And I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure I own this game. And for those games with that symbol that still want your money, you've got to go to the download list. It is not searchable. There are no filters. It has every single game I ever bought on PS3, PSP, and Vita. And
yikes.
Going all the way back to 2008 when I bought a whole bunch of Rock Band songs. That's how far back it goes. It's, oh man, thousands and thousands of items.
It's real, real bad.
And then when you find the thing you want and tell it to download, it goes back to the top of the list.
You wouldn't want multiple things. That'd be stupid.
So, yeah, but let me tell you, I'm in the process of trying to hunt down all of the PS1 classics that I should be able to download, but I'll tell you what I got on here. Let's see. So it turns out I did get a copy of Shiren the Wanderer, the Tower or something in the Dice, and yeah.
Tower of Destiny and Dice of Fate or something like that?
Yeah, Tower of Fate and Dice of Destiny or Death.
something like that.
So, yeah, even though I did get Freedom Wars through PlayStation Plus, I also have a $5 physical copy, so it takes up no space. For some strange reason, I bought Street Fighter Cross Tekken. And the costume pack.
Oh, God, why?
I don't know. So, that's 2 gigabytes. That's some pretty, you know, I only have 32 to work with, so that's some prime real estate. I don't know if it deserves it. That was kind of a screwy game. And then turns out I did get a copy of Uncharted Golden Abyss through PlayStation Plus at some point. So, yay, don't have to pay $50 for a used copy of that.
You too can experience replacement level cover shooter.
And then I've got a Muramasa Rebirth. That was the Vita version that had some extra content. So I want to play that. Super Stardust Delta, Killzone Mercenary, and then I guess there were a lot of games I got through crossplay, you know, that I was just playing on PS3 or PS4, totally forgot I got Vita copies of, so like Axiom Verge, Hohokam, Iconoclast, Nuclear Throne, Resogun, Sine Mora, Shovel Knight, Trevor Trove is on here. So it's like, oh, okay, that's cool. You know, I don't have a PS3 anymore, so I'll just play them on here. The original Escape Plan, even though I think there was a newer version for PS4 that I have, so I might delete that because that's also like 3 gigabytes. Yikes. And then Orishika Tainted Bloodlines. I remember that being kind of fun, so that might be fun to revisit.
Yeah, I've still got that one too. I need to actually go back and finish it.
Yeah. Remember having a unique concept also being a little weird.
Oh, it's Alpha System, so yeah.
Yeah, and then I have Civilization Revolution 2 Plus, which was originally a mobile game. It's really bizarre, but I love those games, so I'll jump back in. And then I got a bunch of PSP games. I got E7, I got Lunar, Silver Star Harmony, and Tactics Ogre, Let Us Cling Together on here. So that should be fun. And then it's weird, when you go to the classics section on the Vita store, it doesn't show all the PS1 games for some reason.
They weren't all available on Vita for some reason.
But then when I just did a manual search and typed in Xenogears, that did come up. So there are some... I gotta remember which PS1 classics I bought. And mainly search them, or go through the download list again. So I'm trying to remember the name of a game that I know I bought. It was a PSP game, but it was like a spin-off. It wasn't part of like the main series. I think it was like Landgreiser or something like that.
There are Landgreiser games for the PSP, I'd imagine.
Landgreiser. Let me see if I can. Okay, so I remember buying something like that, I think. I'll know it when I see it. And that's a German word, isn't it?
Or Langrisser? Yeah. It's either German or German-ish.
Okay.
German or fake German.
Yeah.
Let me see here. Oh, it has a German setting. Oh, okay. Oh yeah, those go back pretty far.
Yeah,
the first one on Genesis was called War Song.
So I thought I had one of those. Maybe I. Okay, now that I'm looking at it, I'm maybe not. I think I might be thinking of
those ever came out in English.
Okay, I might be thinking of Gungnir.
Gungnir was that's a Department Heaven game.
Mm-hmm.
Gungnir, let me see. Which one came out on PSP?
It's Epic.
Okay. Hang on. Alright. So I got something mixed up there. Let's search that real
Gungnir
quick.
Gungnir is inexplicably episode 9 of Department Heaven. It's episodes 1, 2, 4, and 9 all came out.
Which one is episode 1?
Riviera.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Tears of Reunion.
It wants me to buy it. Okay. I don't know. I'm just trying to remember all the PSP games that I bought on here and all the PS1 games. And I could play Valkyria Chronicles 2. Kind of don't want to.
It's bad.
I can play PS All Stars Battle Royale.
Why?
You can finally play something that no one else is playing. Let's see. Yeah, episode 4 is Knights of the Nightmare, and episode 9 is Gungnir.
Knights of the Nightmare is a game.
It is. Yeah.
A fucking weird ass game.
I was gonna say, wasn't it like a tactical shmup or bullet hell?
Kind of.
There's elements of both.
I got pretty far in that game, and I'm not really still wasn't 100% sure what the fuck I was doing. It's real weird.
Well, it's weird by Department Heaven standards.
Yeah.
I can play Breath of Fire 3 and 4. Okay. I could buy Cho Aniki for $6.
Cho Aniki!
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. There's some cool shit on here. Oh, I can download Parasite Eve, but I kind of got pretty far on an emulator, so I don't want to start over. Legend of Mana. I know that got remastered, but hey, it's only 300 megabytes? Sure.
No, just play the remaster.
I'll play this and see if I like it, because I don't know how much of it I played. I don't remember any of it. So, no, anyways, that's what I ended up doing today. Just was tinkering with the Vita. Yep, and All right. Now, I could be wrong about this, but I could have sworn you could do remote play from PS5 to Vita.
You cannot.
Okay.
PS4? Yes. PS3? Yes.
Yeah, that's where I got confused, because I'm like, I could have sworn I saw it somewhere. But nope. It's like,
Oh, and I do have the... forgot you could do it with PS3. I was thinking the other day, I'm like, man, I sure wish there was a way I could remote play like my PS3 and get some more use out of it. And it took me several minutes before I realized, oh, wait, there is. I think there's some restrictions on what games actually work, but yeah, I always forget about that.
I have the Street Fighter Alpha 3 for PS1, but I don't think I bought Alpha 3 Max. I could have, but I'm not sure. Okay. Oh, well. Oh. Okay.
Never mind, I've got a bunch of questions in here. I'm just going to throw this out there on your... This is
one here, out of
order.
Okay, there we go.
But your physical PC... is a physical PC release Super Meat Boy, reinstall the game, but then you have to add it manually to Steam for it to work. Does anyone remember the first PC release that did this? I remember some games years and years ago that did stuff like that. I don't remember what, but I have seen that before years ago.
I mean, it's probably something that came out around the time that Steam was being adopted, but during a period where it was very begrudging. I was not versed in PC gaming at the time, so I do not know.
So another thing that the Vita can do, it used to be that on PS3, if you bought a movie on PlayStation Store or TV show, you could just download the episodes to your hard drive. PS4, they did away with the downloads, and PS5 has an app that will let you stream any movies and TV shows you bought, but you can't buy new ones and you can't download anything. Vita still lets you download any shows and movies you bought on PlayStation Store on PS3, which is great. They're in SD, but there's an anime series called Broken Blade that I'd like to rewatch, and I have all the episodes here. So,
well, that's convenient.
And then you can put songs on here. It has Bluetooth, so I can sync up Bluetooth earbuds. Wow, you know? And it still has a headphone jack anyways. Like, this thing was like, this is a great system. I don't know. Just, they dropped the ball on software, that's all.
I wouldn't go with great. There's a lot of technology festooned within it. As a practical concern, it was kind of a weird object to carry around.
Yeah.
I want to hit some of these because they're in the chat. What's the chance that Square Enix are just lying through their teeth about 16 and 7 rebirths sales so that they don't have to pay any bonus to their employees? Somewhere between zero and none, that would represent material fraud to shareholders. There are things that are said about the ballooning budget of and development time of games, but does anyone know something similar when it comes to indie games? You used to be able to just make a good mascot platformer and be hailed as the next indie darling and just to cut it nowadays. Market's way more saturated. Like, there's a million indie devs making, like, quality, like, platformers or roguelikes or whatever. The genres are just saturated. And it gets harder and harder every year to differentiate yourself. If you go back and play some of the early indie darlings like fucking Braid, it's like, oh, this is completely acceptable and entirely unexciting.
Braid was weird.
It's just not very interesting.
No.
Outside the context of when it came out, it's like, oh, this is just a very standard sort of puzzle platformer. Speaking of which, as the world moved past Super Meat Boy or World of Goo, I'm surprised that the latter had a sequel in 2024 of all things. Yeah, I mean, like, I think that those still have their diehard fans, certainly. massive core platformers are no longer the trend, but there are still people that are big into Meat Boy and its successors. And I'm sure that World of Goo, there's the same, that like there are people like that, but it's no longer going to be something that instantly garners attention just for coming out the way that it did back in the day. Let's see. Isn't it weird that something that as highly praised like the original Amnesia, its sequels never received the same amount of attention? To come down to streamer-friendly horror games taking up all the spotlight. I mean, Amnesia is reasonably streamer-friendly, even if it's less streamer-friendly than its successors. But again, it's just saturated now. The especially for a few years there, the Amnesia-style, like, no-combat, first-person, wander-em-up horror games were in vogue, and there were tons of them, and now it's back to being a niche, because it's not novel to the kind of person who would buy it. Why are you making what looks like a fucking Mortal Kombat ninja?
I wasn't watching. Hold on. What's he doing?
Oh, he's making his character in Freedom Wars.
Oh.
Not Freedom Wars. Okay. Soul Sacrifice.
Oh, yeah. That was basically the same game in my head.
So what? Soul Sacrifice Delta. What does that do? Does that just add some stuff you don't need, or
it adds a lot?
Okay, because
one of the things it adds is in the original version, when you killed monsters, you had to like get the option of like set them free or like sacrifice them, and it does different things. And now there's like a third option or something. It's been a while.
Oh. All right. Because I have regular Soul Sacrifice, but not Delta. And Delta is expensive. And it's like,
Wait, I don't know what is it in the store?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, like, I was going to get maybe a physical copy. But yeah, I mean, there's stuff I can buy digitally, sure. So maybe I should just do that. But I remember that was a game. There was no upgrade path to that. No. I always thought maybe that should have been.
No, I reviewed that game, and I bought Delta hoping I could like use my save, but now I had to start from the beginning, so I did not finish Delta.
Oh.
But I don't think it's different enough that it probably matters that much.
Oh, it's only $18.
Oh, it's not bad.
No. And then I think it included a bunch of DLC as well. Okay. Interesting.
It's a really, really weird game.
Yeah.
Especially conceptually. Wasn't it that you're not like, your character isn't like, is like reliving the memories of the villain who's holding you captive and gaining power that way. It's a bizarre concept.
I really dislike the book and wish it was dead.
It's and then there gross. Was,
wasn't there a, forgot, sorry. No, it was the guy who did Mega Man, wasn't he part of it?
Inafune was an executive producer in some fashion.
Yeah, okay.
He probably had little to do actually with it.
Oh, wait a minute, you've been playing Tokyo Xanadu, was that originally a Vita game?
Yes.
So Vita and that game, version's still
Vita
$40.
Game, then, well, you don't want to buy that version anyway. You want the Switch version. That's the definitive version at this point.
Especially in what about where they cleaned up the translation? Apparently.
Yeah, the only version of that Tokyo Xanadu you want to play is the Switch version. It's better.
Yeah, that's what I
figured. It's better than the PS4 version.
Oh, okay. What about Trillion God of Destruction? Was that any good? That's an Idea Factory game.
I haven't played
it. It's an Idea Factory game.
Yes.
I just
your mileage may vary quite wildly with any Idea Factory game.
Okay. So I went on Amazon and did find two games that were reasonably priced. So I did do Hot Shots Golf World Invitational because the PS3 port has to be streamed through Plus Premium, and I tried emulating it and it was okay, but I'm like, I just want to go back to the original version. But then I saw this other game, God Wars Future Past.
Yeah, that's
It's a tactical RPG published by Nippon Ichi. So I was like, all right, let's give that a shot.
Very, very good. It was the same people that worked on Natural Doctrine, a game enjoyed by me and someone else out there. But it's supposed to be like a much more traditional tactical RPG than that game was.
Yeah, I decided to go with that instead of Dengeki Bunko Fighting Climax Ignition, because I did play the PS3 ROM on an emulator, and it's all in Japanese, and there's actually like some cutscenes and story and dialogue between battles, and it's like, oh, I don't know what these people are saying. And I was trying to record myself playing that for an episode of Sega Timber. I had technical issues where halfway through the video, it just flipped itself upside down. Oh, so don't know why I did that. But then I was like, okay, you know what? Let's just not do this. And then, you know what? Maybe I don't need a Vita version of this game. So not going to get that.
God Wars is a good one to get too, because I believe it was delisted, like even on like, I think there's a PS4 version, but I think even the PS4 and Switch versions you can no longer buy digitally.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know it got ported to other platforms. I just saw it on Amazon, and it was like $30-something. It's like, all right, I'll grab it. Yeah. And then it turns out Limited Run Games did a bunch of Vita games, but they're all grossly overpriced in my opinion,
because all those came out in the early period when it was really a limited release, so it would be, you know, you'd have to sign on when they put it up, and you'd have to try and luck out to get those, so those are pretty small print runs.
Okay.
I think and I'm pretty sure all of those were before they went to the open pre-order model. I don't think any Vita games were open pre-orders, that's why.
So then the only reasonably priced limited run Vita game was Fern's Gate, which was $50, and I don't know.
I don't know
anything about that. What?
I don't know what it is.
Oh, okay.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, me neither. One guy said he liked it, but that's it. Okay.
Fern's Gate, and that's available in English? The fuck is it? Do we have a review? Let's look. Fern's Gate RP Gamer. Fern's Gate gets limited run games for release. Fern's Gate RP Gamer. Oh, is this a Kemco game? Don't buy this. Do not buy this.
Rainbow Moon? Oh, yeah.
Rainbow Moon's good. Do not buy Fern's Gate. It is a Kemco game.
Oh, see, you said do not buy this, and then I looked at the stream, and I saw Rainbow Moon blinking. Okay.
Assess. No, Rainbow Moon's fine. Do not buy Fern's Gate. Avoid. Run away.
Okay. Loud and clear. And then, did you say the Jack and Daxter collection was good, or did you say that one sucked?
I mean, it's...
Bad ports.
Bad what? Ports? Okay.
On the Vita?
Good games, bad ports. Yeah.
Yeah, on the Vita.
Yeah, I remember it had some... I played through all of 2 on the Vita, but I do remember it had some issues.
Yeah, they just get more jacked up as they go.
Yeah, the Ratchet collection is good on there. I believe the Sly Cooper collection is fine.
Yeah, I have Sly Cooper Thieves in Time, but I didn't play the previous ones.
You should.
Okay.
I should as well. So I haven't finished all of them.
And I guess I did buy Blaze Blue Continuum Shift Extend on here, but I have, you know, Central Fiction on Steam and PS4 already, so it's like, yeah, maybe you don't need to download that.
No reason to jump backwards in that franchise.
No, not at all. Okay. Cool. Oh, well, Jack and Daxter collection is only $10. No, it's alright. I never played any of them, so...
I mean, for $10, I believe the port of 1 is fine. That's the perfect price to play Jack and Daxter 1 on the Vita, at least. You can maybe best mess around with the other two. I would recommend it at that price.
Recommend it at the price. Sensational appetite.
Oh, okay. I can buy Persona 4 Dancing All Night for $25 if I wanted to. Because I was seeing it on Amazon going for 50, 60 or more. Or even just for a Japanese copy. It's like, all right, that's good to know. Cool. All right, so I think I got all my Vita talk out of my system now.
Okay.
Answer more questions and then go to bed.
Log off angry, go to bed sad. Yeah. Okay. Gaming is certainly an expensive hobby, but how about we compare it to America's second favorite hobby, watching TV? Subscription costs can only go up, but if you want to watch live events, you're going to pony up even more money, which sucks because basketball and football and wrestling are like the only reason people still watch live TV. Yeah, it's, they are very much trying to, like, all economies are wailing now. All of them. It's a nightmare. Like, all entertainment economies are about trying to lock in whales.
Vast.
It's hell for everyone. Everyone else. Like, it's hell for the whales, because whales are targets of financial abuse, and it's hell for people who aren't whales who just can't get things anymore. Speaking of God Wars, technical problems, Lollipop Chainsaw Repop has are causing people to think that instead of remakes, we should get more straight ports. Unless the remake has a lot of money behind it, it won't be good. Do you think that this line of reasoning is fair? Do you think that we should get more straight ports? I think that, like, in general, I'm going to be arguing in favor of straight ports more on the basis of a lot of times the remakes are neither creatively challenging nor particularly improving things, but also ports that aren't, that don't have a lot of money behind them tend to end poorly as well. Like, that's the thing. Like, you can probably get away with a cheaper good port because you aren't, like, fucking as much with art assets and shit. But, like, a cheap port has been, like, a problem that has existed since people started porting things from one platform to another. You're going to have to make some changes. If you don't have the money to make make ones that are necessary, you get things that are broken. So I don't think there's an escape there. Like, I do think that in general, quote unquote remaking something, if you don't have a fair bit of money and an artistic vision behind it, is just a waste of everyone's time and money. But, like, it's one of those things that, like, if you don't have the money behind it, like, you can get plenty of bad ports for your lack of money. Feel bad for Dragami Games, the studio behind Repop, after they made God Wars and then split from Kadokawa. Went independent, they made Relayer, which was a better than average mecha tactical RPG. It's definitely a lower mid-budget game, though. Well, I know that there were people working for Dragami who were involved with the original Lollipop Chainsaw, just who was behind the decision to ask them for a remake. Well, it's the type of game that it's over their capacity. It is someone who looked at a list of assets that were sitting in Kadokawa's catalog, looking at sales numbers on them, and deciding, this is easily marketable and sold well. Let's redo that. People like remakes, though, so let's make it a remake. But, like, the scope on Repop changed a lot in its development. They initially announced something that looked like a much more, like, top-to-bottom remake. This was them scaling back to something that more resembled a port. Like, was them trying to work within the budget that they had, but I would imagine after dealing with a lot of executive mandates that were essentially unmanageable. It's, publishers are deranged. for all the praises that Astrobot deservedly receives, I just I've got to question the gaming punditry if they had actually played a lot of different genres besides AAA, Soulsborne, and FPS. Saw so many YouTube videos saying stuff like Astrobot's what we've lost, Nintendo still make games for that, guys. Yeah, like, there's a long history of treating, like, Nintendo and indies, both of whom make a lot of, both of whom still make 3D platformers, and, like, games that aren't as grim as Sony's usual oofa, as being, like, some weird different category that doesn't exist in discussion of AAA. And, like, for indies, that makes sense, because, you know, indies are inherently non-AAA, but, like, there's just this weird, like, refusal to learn from what Nintendo does, as just being like, oh, it can never work for anyone else. And it's like, no, it can. Other companies are, yeah, other companies are really trying to sell just some other, whole other shit. It's weird. A friend just messaged me something.
Oh, what's Farmer saying in here? Talked about how Japanese companies saw the profitability of RPG, taking Sega with Infinite Wealth and P3R for an example. What then is the probability of profitability projections of Sakura Wars and Shining?
I'd say Sakura Wars probably has a pretty good chance of coming back, like, just as an inevitability, because there were periods where that was one of Sega's biggest franchises, and it's very easy to sell mech kits and statues of pretty girls. Shining's a little bit of a harder sell just because it doesn't have a super strong identity. The way I describe it is that, like, Shining was just, in terms of how Sega treated it, it was just, that's a fantasy RPG of some vague description. Some of them are connected, some of them aren't, some of them are action games, some of them are first-person dungeon crawlers, some of them are tactical games.
And did he cut out again?
I was going to say, it sounds like we lost him again.
Yeah. I think he was just talking about how all over the place the Shining series is, though, so...
Yeah, many arguments in fandom.
If you bought a Shining game,
there he is.
If you buy a Shining game, you have absolutely no idea. Yeah. If you buy a Shining game, you have absolutely no idea what you're getting.
Yeah.
Could be anything. Some vague fantasy RPG construction. That's all you get. Sakura Wars might come back just because it's pretty obvious what you're getting.
I got confused for a second. I thought he was talking about that Valkyria Chronicles spinoff, you know, that bad third-person...
Valkyria Revolution, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that, for some reason, I got that. That's what I thought he was talking about, but that was bad, though. Yeah. Resonance Revolution. Okay, yeah, that's fine. Dumb words. Mary Skelter, are those games any good?
Doesn't Paws really like them?
Paws really likes them. Tam likes them. I think there's multiple other people on staff that really like them.
Cool.
So
a lot of it comes down to your preferences for that type of game.
I'm going to try to make sure that I have a new headset by next week.
Of course.
Yeah, it's pissing me off.
Fine. What are we going to do, man? Hey, you could get one of those newer Sony headsets for the PS5 that don't have Bluetooth. They have some weird proprietary thing instead. Yeah.
Red Fang!
They're like $200.
I think I would rather trip and hit my head on a rock. yeah, more likely I will spend like somewhere between $20 and $30 on a cheap USB headset.
Yeah, there you go. No judgment.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
The headset I use was a free Sennheiser headset. I knew a guy who worked for them and just sent me a free headset once. So it's like, all right, I still use it. Still works. Yep.
Yeah, I have to be frugal for the time being. Let's see. But I'm sorry. I'm kind of tired and a little pissed. So if everyone's okay with it, I might want to just kill it right now before I disappear again. Yeah. Gudgeon, tell me where I can get fine books that will make me less pissed off.
Oh, well, then, if you are interested in the fine world of tabletop RPGs, but find that you do not have the time to enjoy them personally, and honestly, this seems to be a very common problem given the proliferation of watch other people play games videos on YouTube, we have Princesses of the Pizza Parlor, available for Kindle, Kindle Unlimited, and Fine Dead Tree format. We can follow the misadventures, poor dice rolls, poorer personal decisions of our players as they jaunt through horrifically difficult adventures with absolutely no danger to yourself as the reader. Let's see. Apparently somebody has been enjoying it because I've been tracking my Kindle Kindle Red Pages, and somebody has been going through the entire series for the past week and a half at an estimated 1,900 pages read so far.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah. Like I'm not going to argue. I'm just wondering when they're going to discover the side stories, because that's like four more items that they have not actually gotten to yet. But yeah, so far, like, this mystery person who... The most I can say is that they're in America from the marketplace information, as read through... They're currently on episode 11 of the main series, plus they have read through the paralogue, almost 800 pages of it. It gets a bit much.
Good Lord.
But, you know. Hey, I have to be self-indulgent somewhere, and I just enjoyed writing that.
You might as well. Yeah.
Yeah. It's shorter in print format, I'm pretty sure.
I would hope. That would be a lot of pages.
It's just the way Amazon does pages for reading things like that. So, yes, Princesses of the Pizza Parlor for Kindle and Kindle Unlimited. Almost got a cover art for the fifth paperback. Currently discussing the episode 13 cover art with the artist. So, more to come from there. And if you folklore is more your thing, we have Tanuki as a Teapot, Japanese Animal Stories by myself again. So under Michael Yarimizu, Yarimizu, again for Kindle and Kindle Unlimited. Lots of cute animals. Some of them survive to the ends of their stories. Folklore tends to be pretty bloody at times. Oh, it's not. Thankfully, nothing is bloody and bleak as that.
Tanuki as a Teapot, featuring some stories that have almost no other English translations or talent.
Limited to zero in a few cases. Yes. Yep.
So, if you have a fascination with the folklore, that's definitely worth your time. Michael Yarimizu, Yarimizu. Let's see. Joe, where can they find your latest output?
All right. So at this point, I'm just putting videos up on YouTube, and you can find that under Smokin' Joe Gamer. And you'll know it's me because there's a picture of my Xbox avatar and he's wearing a hat and glasses and a hoodie and he's holding up a guitar. It's pretty, I thought it was neat. And the background is just a screenshot from Mass Effect, I think. So you can check that out. This is Sega Timber, which I did Sega Timber last year. I decided to do it again this year where I just play various Sega games. The output's been a little sparse, though, I admit. So the first two episodes are live. I recorded a third episode, which was an hour-long review and demonstration of the Genesis mini console. And it was really cool because I put the phone like behind me. So I was like filming myself playing the games, you know, instead of streaming from like a capture card. But it's a 60 gigabyte file, so I have not gotten a chance to upload it yet and had all kinds of issues trying to transfer it to my Mac Mini, to my Windows computer, and yeah, so I just have not gotten a chance to upload it yet. It's going to take a long time. So be on the lookout for that. And then today, I mentioned before, I did attempt to film a fourth episode, just a story mode playthrough of Dengeki Bunko, you know, but had technical issues, was not happy with the result and just ended up deleting it and then deciding, okay, you know what? I don't think I need to, like, I like the game, but I don't need to buy a Vita copy. I don't need to keep playing it for now. So that was going to be episode 4, but now it's not. But there's, you know, plenty of other Sega games to choose from. Believe me, there's a bajillion of them. Anything published by Sega, developed by Sega, anything on a Sega console, they're all eligible. So hopefully over the next...
play Virtua Fighter Cyber Generation Ambition of the Judgment 6.
Okay.
Don't actually play
the title.
Well, I attempted to play the Genesis version of Virtua Fighter 2. Like, what were they thinking? Oh,
I suppose the game released here as Virtua Quest. Yeah, they removed its truly deranged Japanese title. It's less bad than that.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. So yeah, plenty of Sega games to choose from. And part of the reason my output's been sparse is because I kind of got sucked into Diablo 4 and my sorceress is now level 94. The goal is to hit level 100 in the next 2 weeks before the next season starts. But I don't see myself wanting to get the expansion right now, and I don't want to, you know, try to get another character to level 100 in the next season. And just on the topic before, you were talking about chasing the whales. It's like, yeah, so Diablo 4, for $28, you can get an outfit for one of your characters that can make a female character basically look like a dominatrix. And I'm sure that appeals to some people, but I'm like, $28? No, I'm not the target audience for this. I mean, I caved and got the battle pass only because I had already reached the end of it and there was some cool armor and horses and yeah. And then you get like, it costs $10, but then you get $7 back in currency. So it's like, okay, I felt like it was worth it, but yeah, I don't see myself playing that. Like, I'm 94, I want to hit level 100. The end game content is just ridiculously hard, and I think if I can just get away from that game for a while, then I can, you know, make more YouTube videos. And of course, October, I want to do survival horror games and other spooky type games, so please check out YouTube, and those should go up. Hopefully on a more regular basis going forward. So we'll see.
My recommendation for Sega Timber is a game that is not super fun to play, but is an experience worth having, called Panic for the Sega CD, if you have not played that.
Okay. Put it in Discord so I can see it and I don't forget. That'd be great.
Yeah, I'll drop it in your Discord.
But I am not playing Illbleed. Not doing it.
This is not Illbleed. Okay. I know that you've experienced Illbleed.
I experienced Illbleed. Here. Okay. No, I...
Did I show you that ad?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, good, good.
And it seems like such a cool game. And then you start playing it and you're like, the fuck is this?
Why is this Minesweeper? Okay. But yeah, okay. Otherwise, thanks once again to Fireminer, as always, for keeping us rich with questions to ask to answer. Let's see. You can ask us questions like, dear friend Fireminer, if you catch us, please tell me for the love of God that I have not just cut out again.
No, you're good.
Okay, nope, good. We hear you.
Okay, I'm going to rattle through this as quickly as possible. Okay. You can ask us questions like your friend Fireminer did by catching us streaming 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern on Thursdays. That would be at twitch.tv/askwheels. You can also ask us questions by putting comments under this episode on rpgamer.com, or you can go into the RPGamer Discord, which you can get to by going to the community tab on rpgamer.com and clicking the invite there. It's a lovely community whether you want to ask us questions or not, but we always love it when we do get questions, so please consider it if you've got some burning idea that you want some assholes to pontificate about. But otherwise, we also have a sister show called Shenanigans, where we just sort of play whatever, or play usually something multiplayer, but sometimes we'll just want to play Astrobot for 2 hours. That happens
not
at Sunday nights.
Not complaining.
What's that?
Complaining. Not complaining about that.
Complaining. No, it's a great game.
But yeah, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. I don't think we have any current plan for what's going to happen on Sunday, we'll see. And anyway, this will go up after that statement will no longer be relevant anyway. Catch that if you have something to fill as your weekend ends. But otherwise, that wraps it up for us. So see you, Space Cowboys.
See ya.